go with Miss Diana for Children's Church downstairs. Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. In your bulletins, it says, begin reading in verse 25, but I'm going to read the whole passage about this mother, and we'll begin in verse 10. Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She shall do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planted a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the privilege to be here on this Mother's Day. We thank you, Lord, for all the mothers who are with us, and I pray your blessing upon them today. And Lord, we ask that you might help in the message today, that it might be a message that would be an encouragement to mothers and a message that would instruct them as well. We thank you for all of our mothers, and I pray that we might be a part of their blessing today, that we might do our best to bring honor to them. Thank you, Lord, for helping us in this message get honor for yourself, and if anyone is not saved, I pray that today they will be. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The gift of a godly mother. Americans are expected to spend $33.5 billion for Mother's Day this year. You ask, well, why so much money? Because mothers are very special. We all know that. A lady by the name of Kim Jeppesen wrote this. I wasn't feeling well one afternoon, and I had decided to lie down for a while. My husband said, "No problem, honey, I'll take care of Ricky." No sooner had my head hit the pillow than I heard my two-year-old call, "Mommy." My husband, with his sharpened parenting skills, took charge. "Now, Ricky," he scolded, "Mommy isn't feeling well. If you need something, Dad can get it for you. Just say, 'Dad, can you help me?'" So obediently, Ricky said in his best two-year-old language, "Dad, can you help me?" Invisibly patting himself on the back, Dad leaned over to Ricky and said, "Oh, yes, Ricky, what can I get for you?" And he said, "Get Mom." Get Mom. Yes, Mom's very special. I've had several phone calls from our kids through the years, and I would answer the phone, and they said, "Hi, Dad, can I speak to Mom?" Why? Because moms are special. Yes, no one can completely take the place of a mom, but the best kind of mom is a godly mom. The best mother you can have is a godly mother. I looked up the word godly because I was speaking about godly mothers today, and the dictionary definition says this: conforming to the laws and wishes of God. I thought that was pretty good for a secular dictionary definition. Then I looked up Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, and it says, devout, characterized by a Godward attitude, does that which is well-pleasing to him. A godly mother pleases God. Now, Mary, the mother of Jesus, is an example of a godly mother, for she lived in a manner that enabled the angel Gabriel to say these words to her, thou hast found favor with God. That meant that Mary was well-pleasing to the Lord. She pleased her Lord. The virtuous lady of Proverbs 31 that we just read about is another example of a godly mother. Let's note some of her characteristics that as we just scanned through this passage this morning. First of all, verse 10 says she was virtuous. That means she had moral character, good moral character. She was a virtuous lady. She was also a good wife. We see that in verse 11. It says, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. She was a good wife. Verse 12 says, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And then verse 23 says, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. So she was a good wife to her husband, a godly mother. She was also a blessing to her children. Look at verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She made sure that they were clothed well, and she evidently sewed the clothes herself. Also it says in verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household, eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. And so she was a blessing to her children. She was a hard worker as well. She wasn't idle. She wasn't lazy. Verse 13 says she worketh willingly with her hands. And verse 13. Verse 18 says she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. It's not her servants. It seems like she might have had some. It's not her servants doing this. Her hands do this. So she was a busy lady. She wasn't idle. She was a hard worker. Another thing about this lady is that she was industrious, or you might say enterprising or resourceful. Verse 13 says, she seeketh wool and flax, worketh willing with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. And it says in verse 15, she riseth also while it's yet night and giveth meat to her household, a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planted a vineyard. With the fruit of her hands probably means that with her earnings, she planted the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She was an industrious lady. She actually worked outside the home while taking care of the home. So she was a stay-at-home mom, you might say, and yet she worked outside the home in ways that she could and providing for her children. And so she was an industrious lady. She was also a strong lady. Verse 17 says, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. Also verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing. So she was a strong lady, not a pushover. She was a strong lady, strong in character and strong in ability. She was a strong lady. And then she was an honorable lady. Verse 25 says, she strength and honor are her clothing. So she was an honorable lady. She was a lady of dignity. She had respect from other people. She was an honorable lady. And then I can say, I believe from verse 22, that she was a classy lady. Notice what it says. She maketh her coverings of tapestry, and her clothing is silk and purple. She took care of her own household. She made sure her kids were clothed right, but she was a classy lady as well. She made sure that she was dressed right. You know, I think that's important for a lady, especially a godly lady. You go out in the public today and you see some ladies wonder, why in the world don't they dress up a little bit when they go out? I mean, I've seen someone wearing their pajamas out in public, and it's just I don't know, it just rubs me the wrong way. And I think there should be certain class to a godly woman. And this lady had that. She was also helpful to others. Look at verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. She reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She helped other people. She wasn't proud and arrogant. She was willing to stoop down and help other people less fortunate than her. And she was a very helpful lady. Also, find in verse 26 that she was wise and she was kind. She had wisdom. She had good instruction. She was able to give advice. She had wisdom because she had learned from the Lord. And she was a kind lady, kind to other people, and just somebody who reached out and made sure that she showed kindness to people. Many people need to experience kindness from somebody else, and that's the kind of lady she was. She also feared the Lord, verse 30. A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And it says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And the Lord praises this woman because she feared God. A godly lady fears God. And then I find one other characteristic I want to mention about this lady. She was valuable. She was very valuable. The Bible says in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Verse 29 says, she excelleth them all. She excelleth them all. It says, let me read it. Many daughters have done virtuously. So there are other virtuous daughters. But it says, God says, she excelleth them all. That's interesting. The one lady in the Bible that God said was better than all others was Proverbs 31. And there's one man in the Bible that God says was better than all other men on the earth. Who was that? Job. And it says of Job in Job 1 verse 8, there was none like him in the earth. There was none like him. So that's quite a compliment to this lady. She was very valuable. She was valuable to God, because God used her. She was valuable to her husband. She was valuable to her children. She was valuable to society. And she was valuable to the culture. Because if you have a lot of godly women, it just raises the degree of the culture, the value of the culture. So she was a valuable lady. Now let's fast forward this morning past Proverbs 31 lady and past Mary in the New Testament, the mother of Jesus, and look at today. What is a godly mother like today? I would say that a godly mother today is a mother who loves Jesus. She loves Jesus. She loves God's Word because God's Word is God's Word. So God tells us how to live, and a godly mother would want to know what God has to say. So she loves God's Word. She also lives for Jesus. That means she rejects sin and she rejoices in righteousness. She obeys the Lord, a godly mother, and she sets a good example for her children and then others around her. She is a godly mother. And also a godly mother loves. She loves her husband, she loves her children, and she loves others. So a godly mother has these characteristics like the woman in Proverbs 31 had. Now let's begin the points in the message this morning by saying this. First of all, a godly mother is a gift from God. A godly mother is a gift from God. You see, it has to be that way because the Bible tells us that all of us are sinners. Romans 3, 10 and 23. For it says, there is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So everybody's a sinner, and that includes all you sweet mothers. Everybody is a sinner. And so how can you take a sinner and make them a godly person? Only God can do that. And so if there's a godly mother, then that godly mother is a gift from God. God's the one that makes them a godly mother. Now, an unsaved lady can be a good person in many ways. An unsaved lady can be a good mom in many ways. But an unsaved lady cannot be a godly mother.
Why do I say that? Well, the Bible says, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, in other words, you will not accept God's gift to you in the person of Jesus Christ and what He did for you on the cross of Calvary, and trust Him and not your own goodness to get you to heaven. If you're not a Christian, then you've really rejected Jesus. So you can't be godly, because God says this in John 5, verse 23, all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, that's Jesus, honoreth not the Father which hath sent Him. So if you don't honor God the Father, you can't be godly. And so if you want to be godly, you've got to be a saved person. Now, if God develops a godly mother, she is a gift from God to her husband, to her children, and to society. So a godly mother is a gift from God to us. And that's very important. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So a godly mother is a gift from God. Now also, we can say this, a godly mother is a gift to her husband. A godly mother is a gift to her husband. If you have a godly wife who's a mother to your children, you have a lot to be thankful for. And you can thank God because God gave you that wife. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:14, a prudent wife is from the Lord. Proverbs 18:22 says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. So a godly mother is a gift from God to the father, to the husband. So a godly mother is a gift to the husband. You see, he can trust her. He can trust her to take care of the children. He can trust her to take care of the household. As Proverbs 31 says, she looketh well to the ways of her household. And verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed. So a godly mother is a gift to her husband because he can trust her with his children, with their children, and with the household. And God says that is something that's necessary for a godly mother. He can also trust her around other men. That's very important in this day. It's always been, but particularly today with all the sin so rampant. It's so good that to be a husband of a godly mom, a godly wife, because you can trust her around other men. I never remember a time that even the hint of not trusting my wife would come to my mind. And because she loves the Lord, and I can trust her. I don't have to worry about other men. And so that's very important. And this woman was like that. Why? Because she was virtuous. She was virtuous. Also, he can trust her not to hurt him. A man who has a godly wife can trust her not to hurt him. Verse 12 says, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates. What that means is, he is known in the gates, and the context is because of his wife. I mean, he has honor because of his wife. She doesn't take away from his honor. His honor is actually enhanced. In the gates would be the place where they did business in those days. And so it would be a place where he was conducting business with other people, and he had honor because there was honor at home, and his wife was a godly wife. Also, a godly mother is a gift to her children. She is a blessing to her children. Why is she a blessing to her children? Let me give you some reasons. She loves them and cares for them. A godly mother loves them and cares for them. She nurtures them when they are helpless. Thank the Lord for a godly mother who does the chores of being a mother, you know, changing all the dirty diapers. I've changed diapers many times, but nothing compared to my wife. Six children, you can imagine. So all those, and then wiping the runny noses, fixing the bumps and the bruises and the scratches and all of that. All those, because the child can't help themselves, the mom helps them. And she loves them and cares for them. She understands their strengths, their weaknesses, and their failures. She helps develop their strengths. She helps overcome their weaknesses. And she helps them learn from their failures. That's the godly mother. She corrects them when they're wrong and praises them when they do right. She comforts the teenage young man or young lady with a broken heart. Most teenagers go through that. I can still remember my mother comforting me one of the times, I don't remember which one, but one of the times when Evelyn broke up with me. I think it was 3 or 4 times, you know. But I can remember my mom comforting me. Who did I go to? To my dad? No, I went to mom. Because moms do that. She cares because she loves. In fact, she's just like God. God loves us. Even when we do wrong, He loves us. Her love is unconditional, and her love is unending. It doesn't change no matter how old the child gets. A godly mom loves the child, even if they're wayward. Godly mom is like the Lord. She is godly. Also, she sets an example for them. A godly mom sets an example for them, to them, how to handle responsibility. She has responsibilities, so she sets an example to the children of how to handle responsibilities. She also sets an example to the children of how to handle disappointments. A godly mother who depends on God, trusts God, tries to please God, will respond to disappointments in a way that an ungodly mother won't. And she knows how to respond to those disappointments, and children learn by watching her. A godly mother teaches by example to her children how to handle unkind people. All of us have unkind people cross our paths. A godly mother knows how to handle unkind people and teach her children the right way to do that. She teaches them how to handle money. She's an example to them. A godly mother does. She also is an example of how to use her tongue and their tongue. She's an example to them. And your children will learn from you by just watching you and listening to you. If a mom gossips, the child will become a gossip. If the mom gripes and complains, the child will become a griper and a complainer. If a mom curses, the child will curse. If a mom is crude in her language, and I'll not explain all that, and I think you understand, then the child will be crude in their language. If the mom uses kind words, the child will learn to use kind words. See, a godly mother is an example to her children of how to use their tongue. It says of this woman in Proverbs 31, verse 26, she opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. So what do you get from a godly mother's tongue? Wisdom and kindness. And so the child learns from that. To her daughters, she teaches them how to treat their future husband. Because how she treats her husband will probably be the way that they treat their husband. So you young men who are looking for a wife, just might keep your eyes open, your ears open. And if the mother of that one you're interested in is disrespectful, and if that mother is acts in a way that's not becoming, then that child will probably be that way as well. So be cautious and watch, because the mom is teaching their daughter how to treat their future husband. And also the sons. The mom is showing the son what kind of wife he wants. And if she's godly, guess what? If the mother's godly, he'll want somebody like mom. He'll want somebody like mom, because she's teaching by her example. Also, she's a gift to those children because she prays for them. A godly mother prays for her children. And many a wayward son has come back to the Lord because a mother prayed. She prepares them for the future. She prepares them how to live. And you have to correct your children, because if you don't, if you let them go down that wrong path and they continue to do that, it will get worse. It won't get better. And you are responsible to correct that child and help them know how to live. You can't live that way, and I'm going to teach you how to live. You can't do that. You can't say that. You can't go there. Whatever it might be, she teaches them how to live. And as a result, she teaches them how to be an adult. You find an adult who's disrespectful, it probably goes back to the home. You find an adult who makes fun of the police officers and just, is disrespectful, it probably goes back to the home. And so mothers are preparing their children to how to live and how to be an adult. And also, they're preparing them to go to heaven. You see, how can you be a good mom, a really good mom, if you don't love Jesus? If you have no time for church, if you have no time for serving the Lord, you have no time for the Bible, you have no time for anything like that, that's not, you'll be there for their ball games, you'll be there for everything else, you'll do all, and then they realize, well, you don't have to have God in your life, and guess what happens? They go to hell just like you do. So an ungodly mom, a mom who doesn't love Jesus, she might be a good mom in lots of ways, but if her children follow her and they don't have any part, and they don't have any time for the Lord as well, and they don't accept Him, they're going to go to hell. Now, how can you call that a good mom? So a godly mom prepares her child for the future of home, at home in heaven, because she followed her mom, or they followed their mom. Also, she does not interfere. A godly mom does not interfere when the children finally leave the nest and get married. Well, that's a test, isn't it? I remember there's a lady in our church in West Virginia, and her mother-in-law would come to their house, and she told us about it. She said, I almost hate to see her come. And guess what she would do? She would go into the closet and pull out all the towels and fold them the way they were supposed to be folded, as if there is a proper way. Listen, the proper way is to fold them like you want to fold them. But she would correct it. She didn't know her place, and she got back to her sons and she said, "My son's wife should fold the towels like I fold them, because that's the right way." Now, a godly mom knows that the Bible says a son should leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. It's called the leave-cleave formula. It's found three places in the Bible: Genesis 2:24, Matthew 19:5, and Mark 10, verse 7. Leave father and mother, cleave to the wife. So it becomes a brand new home. And mom and dad need to say, "All right, it's your home." And they can advise you that, but they don't interfere. That's a godly mother does that. So a godly mother is a gift to her children. A godly mother is also a gift to other children. There are so many children today who do not have a godly mom or a godly dad. Many parents are sinful and selfish, and therefore their children are left with no godly influence in their life. And many of us who know Jesus as our Savior, we have opportunities to cross paths with those kids. Sometimes those kids will be friends of your kids, and those kids are hurting, and you have the opportunity to be a godly example to them. You see, probably the best advertiser of you as a mother to the world is your children. Because at home, they go to school and they say, "My mom did this," or "My mom did that," And they talk about mom and they love mom. And that poor child who doesn't have a mom that loves God, and she's concerned about herself and her sin, and the kids are sort of a side project, they're hurting. And they think, "I wish I had a mom like that." So when they meet you, you have the opportunity to be a godly mother influence upon them. You be kind to them, long-suffering to them, loving them. It's your opportunity. So they should see in you kindness and wisdom and strength and love and helpfulness and God-fearing. You see, in other words, it's like this. Children like that should see Jesus in you. And you might be the very reason they come to know Christ as their Savior, because they saw something in you that was so desirable and they wanted to know your Savior. Also, a godly mother is a gift to society. And with this we'll close, but a godly mother is a gift to society. You see, Satan is busy deceiving women today. He wants them to be independent. No man's going to tell me what to do. And he wants them to be selfish, live for self. He wants them to reject motherhood, so that he encourages them to kill that baby. I mean, it's inconvenient. You weren't planning for this. Just take care of that. It's your body anyway. No, that's a lie of the devil. And he wants ungodly mothers who don't love Jesus to reject their children. He develops them into unkind people, uncaring people, not fearing God, ungodly. And the world is full of those today. When these women become mothers, they often pass their characteristics on to their children, and as I said earlier, thus leading them to hell. And so God wants godly mothers in our society to be what we're supposed to be. A society led by Satan needs the gift of godly mothers. And the Bible makes it clear in Matthew chapter 5 that we're to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Salt is a preservative, and light helps you have direction in your life. And so the world today is following the devil, and it's doing what he wants them to do, and godly mothers can be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And society needs that. So godly mothers are a gift to society. God wants us to have a testimony in this old dark world. And so we need to be what God wants us to be, and that's the salt and the light. Many years ago, in 1865, I think it was, a man by the name of William Ross Wallace wrote a poem. You've probably heard it. The Hand That Rocks the Cradle. It's a four-stanza poem. I want to read the third stanza. It says, and it uses the word imperiled. Imperiled means to make into a pearl. But here's the third stanza. Women, how divine your mission here upon our natal sod. Keep, oh keep, the young hearts open always to the breath of God. All true trophies of the ages are from mother love imperled. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. And how true that is. Women have such an influence in our society, and we need godly mothers. Now I want to close by saying this. If you're a mother and you say in response to this message, oh, I don't think I've been the godly mom that God wants me to be. All of us have failed the Lord. And you might say, I haven't been the godly mom. Well, you can't change the past, but you're still living. And guess what? You're still a mother. You'll be a mother till you die. And if you haven't been all you can be, you can change. If you haven't trusted Jesus as your Savior, you can do that today and begin your life of following Him. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and you've failed, all you have to do is come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry I've failed, and I know I can't change it, but I want to do the best I can from this time forth to be a godly mother, a godly mother. That would be a blessing to the husband, be a blessing to my children, be a blessing to other children, be a blessing to society. Help me to be a godly mother. And I trust that all the moms here today either are godly mothers or will be godly mothers. It's your choice. It's up to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for helping us to see the importance of a godly mother. Lord, I thank you for this picture in Proverbs 31. And I pray that you might bless our moms today. I believe most of the moms here, if not all of them here today, know Jesus. And Lord, it's just true of them like it's true of everybody. Sometimes we fail you. And I pray that they, when they have those failures brought to them, Lord, that they might say, Lord, I'm sorry. And I want to be all that you want me to be. Lord, if Gabriel would come, which he probably won't to us, but it'd be so good if he could say, you found favor with God. God likes the way you're living. I pray that'd be true of all the mothers here today. We love them all. We pray your blessing upon them. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.